Hello, it's me, Lilia Frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who never listened to his mother. Well, he listened to her in the sense that he heard what she said, but he didn't listen to her in the sense that he most often did the opposite of what she told him to do. If she told him to pick up his dirty clothes from the floor, he would not pick up his dirty clothes from the floor. If she told him to practice his trombone, he would trim his toenails instead. And if she told him to trim his toenails, he'd practice his trombone. If she told him not to jump in a puddle, he would jump in the puddle, making as big of a splash as he could. And then when she told him to leave his muddy boots inside the front door on the mat, he would leave them outside the front door and not notice that they were filling up with rainwater as it began to rain. He was often in trouble, though his sisters were not. Peter's sisters, whose names were Flopsy and Mopsy, well, those weren't their real names, but they were their nicknames, Flopsy and Mopsy is what everyone called them, were never in trouble because they did listen to their mother in the sense that they both heard what she said and they did what she told them to do. If she told them to pick up their dirty clothes from the floor, they'd pick up their dirty clothes from the floor. If she told them to practice their violins, they would practice their violins. If she told them to brush their hair, they would brush their hair. And if she told them not to jump in a puddle, they would go around the puddle. And when they returned home, they'd just neatly arrange their boots on the mat inside the front door. Their mother wouldn't have to tell them to do that at all. One Easter weekend, their mother told them to pack for 2 overnight sleeps at their grandparents' house. Their grandparents lived up north at the other end of a very long prairie drive, and Peter was exhausted just thinking of how many times he'd have to ask his parents if they were there yet on the drive. There was very little to do on the drive because when Peter's mother told her 3 children to bring something to play with for hours and hours of sitting still in the car, his sisters packed coloring books and coloring pencils and games and craft-making supplies and even flashcards for learning multiplication. But Peter, instead of packing up something to play with, had taken apart a broken remote control car to see what was inside, and then before he knew it, had run out of time to pack, so that the only thing he had in his pockets was a tiny, torn tire from his toy car and a clump of mud that dissolved into a little pile of sand on the seat beside him as soon as he squeezed it. All poor Peter could think of to do on that long, long drive that was at all entertaining was to fight with his sisters, but their mother had told them not to fight with Peter, rather to ignore him, and they were very, very good at that, and it was a losing battle for Peter, which was his least favorite kind of battle. So he just stared out the window, watching the brown landscape blur past, with the dirty bits of crusty old snow that hadn't melted yet clinging to patches of dead grass, and the ravens drifting in and out of the bare branch trees that lined the endless highway. Well, at last they arrived at Grandma and Grandpa's house and were covered in kisses and fed a roast chicken and carrot dinner. Grandpa was particularly excited about the carrots because he had tried a new technique for overwintering them that he'd heard about from his gardening club. Instead of digging up the carrots in the fall and putting them in the cold cellar to keep, he dug a deep hole in his garden, filled it with straw, put a burlap sack with his harvested carrots at the bottom, and then covered it with dirt, and he let it freeze over the winter until the whole thing thawed again in the spring. And then he dug it up. "Aren't they the sweetest carrots you've ever tasted?" asked Grandma. And indeed they were. "Must be the hard frost does something to convert the sugars," said Grandpa. And Grandma made sure everyone had second and even third helpings of roast carrots. In the morning, Grandpa took the whole family out to look at the hole he'd dug in his garden. And Flopsy and Mopsy admired it and told Grandpa it was the deepest hole they'd ever seen. Asked him what kind of shovel he used to dig it. Well, Peter yawned, and Grandpa said he hoped the Easter Bunny would come the next day and hide chocolate eggs all around the garden and the backyard. "Children, this hole is very deep," said Peter and Flopsy and Mopsy's mother, and I don't want you to play in or around it. Got it, said Peter's sisters. Peter, look at me when I talk to you, said Peter's mother. Do not play in or around this hole. And she made him repeat the instruction back to her. After dinner that evening, there was still spring sunshine filling the dining room windows and spilling into Grandma and Grandpa's house, and so the children wanted to go play outside. But the grown-ups wanted to stay inside playing cards after dinner and drinking tea, so the kids got their rubber boots on and ran around in the backyard on their own. Flopsy and Mopsy wanted to play with a frisbee, but they'd invented a game that had way too many rules to be fun for Peter, so he left them to play on their own while he explored the backyard. There was a rotting compost pile, which was fun to poke at with the pitchfork leaning up against the fence. There was a downspout by the house that created a tiny little river that ran over pebbles to the back alley, where there was a squash tin can to set up on a fence post and toss gravel at to try to knock it over from further and even further back. And there was a weeping birch tree to climb. It reached over the garden. Once Peter had climbed it, he challenged himself to jump down from a high branch and then an even higher branch into the garden. And then he found himself standing around the perimeter of the great big hole, peering down into the straw that obscured the bottom, wondering just how deep it really went. Then Peter jumped in. He bent his legs and he leapt into the straw-filled hole, and he kept his knees bent to absorb the shock when he hit the bottom, but the bottom of the hole didn't arrive at all as expected. Peter just kept falling down and down and down and down and down and down and down. When he finally landed, it was in a nest of pink grass in a big pink basket that was whizzing along on a conveyor belt. Well, the next thing Peter knew, chocolate eggs were landing on his head, and then he was pelted with jelly beans. Ouch! Peter looked around just in time to realize that ahead of him was a machine that was dropping gigantic, solid milk chocolate bunnies into each basket on the conveyor belt, and he was about to be clobbered with a chocolate bunny that was as big as he was. Yikes! Well, Peter leapt out of the basket just in time, but oh no, a chocolate hen was pecking the back of his legs. He had almost jumped onto a tiny flock of little yellow marshmallow chicks that were following behind their mother, and she was mad at Peter for that. Well, Peter stepped away from the angry mother hen, and he ducked into a narrow tunnel to catch his breath. Where was he? He looked around in wonder. He was in an underground factory that made Easter baskets. Well, every room had dirt walls and dirt ceilings and dirt floors and was connected to other rooms by dirt corridors. In one room, Peter saw fuzzy brown bunnies painting Easter eggs. In another room, Peter saw fluffy black and white lambs tying pretty bows out of huge spools of ribbon. In another room, Peter saw big vats of white and milk chocolate bubbling away, and then Peter couldn't believe his eyes. He saw the Easter Bunny. Peter had never really thought about the Easter Bunny before and how he hid all those eggs in Easter baskets all around the countryside, all before sunrise on Easter morning. But now that he saw how big the Easter Bunny was and how fast the Easter Bunny was, it made a kind of sense. What Peter couldn't remember was whether it was okay for children to see the Easter Bunny or not. Was he like Santa, who only worked while children were asleep and who didn't like to be seen? What would happen if the Easter Bunny saw Peter in his burrow? Would he be in trouble? Peter could only remember his mother saying, "Peter, do not play in or around this hole." And suddenly he was so ashamed for not listening to his mother and for being lost and alone. How would anybody ever find him here? As if Peter wasn't feeling badly enough, an alarm began to sound and red lights began to flash in each room above a sign that also flashed and read, "Intruder alert! Intruder alert!" As if Peter wasn't feeling bad enough. Well, Peter decided to run and hide. He scampered down the narrowest tunnel and into a room in which microgreens were growing hydroponically. There wasn't anywhere to hide amongst the neat rows of organic lettuce and cabbage and kale. but there was an antique watering can that was about Peter's size, so he jumped into it to hide. It didn't take the Easter Bunny a long time to find Peter, which was a good thing, because the watering can was full of the coldest, slimiest, smelliest compost tea, and poor Peter was quivering with cold and fright. Peter was wearing a red toque with a white pom-pom on top that his grandma had knit for him, and the white pom-pom was sticking out of the top of the watering can like a bunny's little cottontail, and the Easter Bunny spied it right away when he poked his head into the microgreens room, and before Peter could make a peep, the Easter Bunny plucked Peter out of the watering can and put him into a yellow Easter basket all full of brown raffia. And he tied a pink ribbon around Peter's neck with a tiny gold bell on it that jingled. And he put a stuffed pink lamb in there under Peter's arm for Peter to squeeze and cuddle. And he added a pop-up book about butterflies. And then quick as lightning, he wrapped up the whole thing in a crinkly green fabric. He tied it all up with a big purple and green polka dot bow, and he placed the basket with Peter inside it on his grandparents' doorstep. Poor Peter. By the time anyone found him in the morning, his sisters had already woken up early, found each and every chocolate egg that the Easter Bunny had hid around their grandpa and grandma's house, and were already swapping. Because Mopsy loved all things caramel-flavored, but Flopsy loved marshmallow centers. Peter's mother said she was concerned about him. He was pale and trembling and not at all himself. So she drew him a warm bath, she made him a cup of chamomile tea, and she told him to go straight to bed, even though the day was just beginning. And you know what? That's what Peter did.